Hello, everyone, and welcome to Safe for Trap, the Survivor Pool Show. I'm your host, Sean Stewart, on this October 30th, 2025. Glad to have you on this last day of October as we're getting head into November. So right now we are in week 9 of the NFL and week 10 of college football. So I have some very terrific news. Now we did had some. Now before we begin with that news, I want to say if you can hear me on YouTube and X, make sure you not only hit that like button or heart, but make sure you follow for more for upcoming videos as well. And I will be doing like short videos and stuff like that. As you can see, I do have a nice haircut because usually I have the full beard. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a hiccup with our server on the 586 Sports website. So we have some great news. So that is now fixed. It has been fixed since Sunday. So we are able to put the episodes, the audio version, on our website. So not only will it be on the website, it will also be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. So if you are able on the go, you'll be able to hear the audio on 586sports.com, which you can download. You can also download it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes as well. And we just did an update since the NBA season. So Monday, I'll be doing the NHL Player Survivor picks. And then on Tuesday is the NHL Player Survivor. And then Wednesday is the NBA. So just letting you guys know that. All right. So as I said before, we are in week 9 of the NFL. And my guest for tonight is Dustin Lucky, as him and I, we are going to be doing the Week 9 NFL Survivor Pool. As you know, many people picked the Atlanta Falcons, as I was one of them, unfortunately. So if you were a Falcons and the Bengals, that was probably like not a good week for you this past Sunday, okay? So as I'm looking into it, I'm looking to see if any stats and information about that, because usually I find it on Splash Sports, Pool Genius, and stuff like that. Let me look. Okay. Oh, and by the way, as I'm looking for the information, I am affiliated with Splash Sports. Now, Splash Sports is not your typical daily fantasy sports. It is the daily fantasy sports app where you can invite people to your contest. So if you let's say you were tailgating, play with friends and stuff like that. So they have like contests for like NBA, NHL, baseball, vice versa. So it's not your typical fantasy sports that you're usually playing. So new customers can use my promo code UUM2IX, and you can get $10 free when you enter a contest that is $10 or more. So once again, my promo code is UUM2IX, and you will get an instant deposit. Well, you will get $10 free when you enter a contest that is $10 or more. So there you have it, all right? And also, if you are watching on YouTube, my Patreon is available as well. So all you have to do is just click that link and then bam, you'll see it. So let us look into the standings, because I can't get the information for how many people got eliminated in their survivor pool for week 9, but I assume it was a lot of people. So let us look into the NFL standings as we are talking right now. So let us go into the AFC first. So let's go to the AFC. So in the AFC, New England is in first place with 6-2, followed by the Buffalo Bills at 5-2. The Dolphins are 2-6, in which the Dolphins will play against Baltimore tonight. Then of course, the Jets are 1-7. Now in the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 4-3. Bengals are 3-5. Ravens are 2-5. Cleveland Browns are 2-6. The AFC South, the Colts 7-1. Jaguars are 4-3. Texans are 3-4. The Tennessee Titans are 1-7. Then you got the Denver Broncos 6-2. Chargers 5-3. As a matter of fact, the Chargers and the Chiefs are tied for second, while the Raiders are 2-5. Let's head over to the NFC. The Eagles are in first place, sitting at 6-2. Cowboys are 3-4-1 because that tie was when it was playing against the Green Bay Packers. The Commanders are 3-5. As a matter of fact, this is their third losing streak. Then the Giants are 2-6. Then the NFC North, Green Bay and Detroit are fighting for first place, but the Packers defeated the Lions in week one, so that's why they're in first place. Lions are 5-2. Bears are 4-3. Vikings are 3-4. The South, Buccaneers 6-2, Panthers 4-4, Falcons 3-4, Saints are 1-7. Then the NFC West, as a matter of fact, the Seahawks and the Rams are tied for first. 49ers are 5-3, and then the Cardinals are 2-5. Okay, so my guest is here, by the way. So I'm going to invite him in. And as a matter of fact, on the first week of the show, he actually predicted the New England Patriots because I want to revive that one. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Dustin Lunke to the show once again. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How's it going? Having some technical difficulties, but I'm here.
Exactly, because I remember, I was like, wait a sec. I know when I first posted the short video, there was one person who was clowning you. They was like, New England? How could New England be this good? Because, again, they didn't know about it because they were so used to the Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, everyone underestimated Drake May. And, right, Travion Henderson hasn't been good. We thought it'd be good. Ramondre Stevenson is still good. And with the core receivers, they don't have a superstar, but Drake May is capable of making it work with what they have. And Drake May is a really good quarterback who has a rushing upside. So I'm not surprised by the Patriots, and I don't think anybody should be surprised by him now.
Exactly. And then plus you were first place with Buffalo as well. Buffalo as well as second place. At least
yes.
Buffalo did defeat the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, and Buffalo's had a bye. New England hasn't, so I think we'll see Buffalo. I think it's going to be neck and neck the rest of the season between Buffalo and New England, that division. Both should make the playoffs. I think, you know, obviously winning the division gives you the home seed. So we could see those two teams play the first week of the playoffs. And it might just be a matter of who's at home, who's away.
And usually we don't usually see two teams in the AFC East like that. It's more likely it's always been one.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets have been historically bad forever, and the Dolphins can't seem to, you know, get out of their own way. So it had been the Patriots through the Brady area, and then it's been Josh Allen and the Bills for the past 5-6 years. So we haven't seen it. Usually it's the AFC North with the Bengals and Ravens and Steelers kind of all in there, have two teams. Sometimes we see the South with like the Colts and the Texans are all kind of in the mix there. And then the West, you have Chargers and Denver who are usually battling out for that spot. And, you know, obviously Kansas City, so you know, just down for the wild card. So it's nice to see two AFC East teams kind of finally being good and some competition in the division.
I absolutely agree as well. So, as a matter of fact, let us start with tonight's game. We have the Baltimore Ravens. They're playing the Miami Dolphins as the Ravens are sitting at 7.5. So, with Lamar Jackson being back, and if you're eliminating my survivor pool just like I was, but hey, at least the great news is at least it's week 9. So, at least you ain't, oh my God, what happened? So, at least I got my credits. So, when I look at Lamar Jackson, because I'm looking at it like this, so I'm like, okay, Lamar Jackson's back, and then you got to also look at John Harbaugh, his job situation with Baltimore. And then you look at the Dolphins, they ripped the part of the Atlanta Falcons, which I have never expected because the way Kirk Cousins played. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, I would not only take this game, because I told you Thursday night football games are like the worst of the worst, but this is kind of like a future. I see some future values with the Baltimore Ravens if Lamar Jackson stay healthy. Keyword if.
Yeah, and right, you have the Ravens coming off a bye, so they should win this game. Like historically, the Dolphins have not been good. Yes, they looked great last week against Atlanta. Lamar Jackson is back, so he should be better. He should be fully healthy coming off the bye. So like, or maybe they didn't have a bye. Maybe they played last week. But I think Lamar coming back, I think you're going to see Baltimore win this game. But I'm staying away from this for survivor pool. The problem is with any team, and this is what I try to avoid survivors, when you put a team into a corner. Dolphins were in a corner last week where it was like, hey, if they don't turn things around, does McDaniels get fired? Does Tua get benched? There was all this talk, and they came out and just showed that they were a good team. So I stay away from teams that are backed into a corner because they become this unpredictable unknown. I stay away from teams with, you know, coaching changes or quarterback changes, which I think we might get into a little bit later. If you change quarterbacks, you don't know that's a spark that could happen for the team, and they come out and shock some people. So, yeah, I'm staying away from this game as much as I can.
Exactly. So the next one we're going to look at is the Chicago Bears and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, what I found out that the Bengals have one of the worst defenses in the league. As you know, they gave up 39 points against the Jets. I figured that was going to happen. They was going to lose that game. And I looked at Caleb Williams. He doesn't have as much as touchdown that he has in this month. And then Joe Flacco, he may be injured. So if Joe Flacco's injured, then it's safe to say that you can pick the Chicago Bears, depending on what your survivor pool looks like and how many people are in it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a horrible pick. I think Joe Flacco practiced today. So he was a full participant in practice, so I think he's going to be back. So I think Flacco plays, so then I'm not taking the Bears. The Bears are one of those weird teams. Like, they've been okay, but Caleb Williams hasn't been great. He's been good, not great. Same with Flacco. He's been good, not great. They're both teams that cause a lot, that give up a lot of turnovers. And so turnovers are one of those things where it's a matter of inches. If the ball is 1 inch too far to the left, it's an interception. An inch to the right, that's a touchdown, right? It's those are the things that matter. I'm staying away from this one, but if I had to pick this one, I think I would pick the Bears, knowing that Flacco is banged up. If Flacco gets another full practice in tomorrow, I'll probably stay away from, and then I would probably go Bengals. But as of right now, with Flacco getting, I think, a full practice in, or at least a limited practice today, I'll pick the Bears. But if Flacco's fully go tomorrow at practice, I'm picking the Bengals.
Okay. Now, another one, we're going to say the Falcons and the Patriots. Now, we did talk about New England a couple of seconds ago. Now, Drake May has averaged 301 total yards as he completed 75.2% of his passes, which owns the number 4 overall QBR of 76.3. That is impressive. Now, they've won 5 straight, all of which is covered for were as a favorite. So just letting listeners know that, anybody that bet. Now, the bad part is he is not effective against the zone coverage. Now, Atlanta's key injury and a New England run defense that's allowed the third fewest yards to neutralize the Falcons' biggest strength in a bigger impact. Now, with the Patriots being so good, there's a couple of games that you can save and use them for later on if you have not choose New England. But situation like this again, I'm wanting it. And plus, since New England is so good, I'm saving it for future value.
Yeah, I'm not. So this is not the game I would pick this week. I think if you are struggling, I think you can. It's a good bet that New England's going to win. But again, Atlanta's kind of in that back into the corner. Penix is probably going to play. We hope, right? Again, they're going to come out and go, hey, last week was a fluke. Let's show teams who we really are. And New England is good, and Drake May is good, but New England has some deficiencies. Ramondre Stevenson wasn't at practice today. So is Travion Henderson now going to be the guy? I don't know. Is he actually any good? Hasn't seemed like it. He was great in college. He was drafted to be good. We'll see. I would struggle to pick this game, but if I'm hurting for teams and I don't have anything else I feel really strong against, there's one game I feel really strong with this week. This is probably like my third or fourth best game, so I would take New England in this one.
Now, here's one I very feel confident in. That is the LA Chargers going to Nashville to play the Tennessee Titans. Now, Justin Herbert does lead the league in passing yards and steer the offense to top 10 production in 3 straight weeks. Now, last week, they just beat Minnesota 37 points at home. And I did pick the Chargers to beat the New York Giants. And, of course, they switched quarterback. And I was like, oh, my God, really? But one thing about the Chargers is like, when it comes to the fourth quarter, that's when I'm really scared of, because that's the history of the Chargers, because the Chargers do have the history of screwing up. So the Chargers should be able to win this game as long as they don't do anything silly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the history of the Chargers, right? Is they don't ever get beat. They lose a lot of games because they make mistakes, whether it's a fumble or interception or just can't stop anybody. They should easily win this game. Tennessee's not good. I mean, Cam Ward has looked really bad. Looks like there's some contention there between him and the coaching staff. The coaching staff's not using him right now, put him in situations. this is probably my second favorite game of the week. So if I'm out there and I'm, you know, this is a game I would probably my second favorite game to pick the Chargers. They should win this game. They should come out and just get an early lead and just be able to run the ball late and then not worry about Tennessee. Tennessee can't score points. So, yep. I mean, Tennessee's only going to put up, what, 24 points? If that, maybe 21 points. Maybe they only put up 10, 13. I mean, they're not going to put up 30-some points. They're not going to put up over 24. So I think you can take the Chargers easily because Chargers can score points. They can put up 30-plus points any week. So, yeah, I like the Chargers in this one easily. There's one other game I like more than this, but this is my second favorite game this week.
And another game I also like is the L.A. Rams is going to play the New Orleans Saints because New Orleans defense is not that good. And the good thing is the game is at home, so you got to do feel better about that. And it looks like the L.A. Rams are back to the contention type of team as we're seeing. Because they were okay at one point, but then they're now being back where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams are really good. They are, if not for a blocked field goal, they beat the Eagles, and they're one more win, and they're sitting atop of their division. My only hesitation, again, we talk about these trap games, is Saints switching quarterbacks, going to Tyler Shuck over Spencer Rattler. I think Shuck is a good quarterback. I don't think he's great, but it could be a spark for the Saints to go, hey, here's something new. We're going to do it. He's got a different skill set. Maybe the Rams haven't, you know, scouted them enough or haven't game planned for him enough. That always worries me. Yes, it's at home in LA, which I love. I like the Rams a lot. It always worries me when you see a team who makes a big change like that, especially a quarterback, because that could just be the spark they need to pull off this big upset.
And I think we as Survivor Pool players, we don't pay attention to the quarterback switch because we always assume like, oh man, the starting quarterback is still going to play. And then when you hear about the news like 3-5 minutes later, you'd be like, oh my God, really?
Yeah, that's the hard part. You are assuming that this guy, you're assuming that the guy who's going in is the backup, so he's not as good. Well, he's a rookie, so we don't know what he is, which is also like the Rams don't know what he is. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just a spark. We saw it with the Giants, right? Russell Wilson was okay, not playing great. They made the spot to Jackson Dart. People wondering, Jackson Dart's been great. You see some of those good ones. You see some of the bad switches. You see teams who, you know, switch to a rookie and it doesn't work. Tua, his first year, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick. They put in Tua, then they took Tua out, put Fitzpatrick in. You just don't know, and that's my fear. When I'm going with Survivor Pool, I don't want any unknowns. I want as much known as possible. And Tyler
exactly.
Shuck is, and what the Tyler Shuck is in the Saints offense is an unknown. They went out and drafted him. He's had time. He's had 8 weeks to learn. He is, you know, an older player, so he's got plenty of years of experience in college. He could come out and just be above average. If he's just above average, that's way better than what they were getting with Spencer Rattler. And he still has Chris Olave, still has Rashid Shaheed, still has Alvin Kamara. Like, if he's a average or above average quarterback, that team's going to be really good, and that might pose a difficult task for the Rams.
And then there's another one I'm not feeling confident is my Dallas Cowboys facing against the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night. We know Dallas can score offense, but defensively they can't do nothing. But I will say one thing about the Cardinals, they do know how to do the clock management. I will say that about the Cardinals. As much as they're under 500, they can do clock management. I will say that about the Cardinals, but that's another game I will stay away with, especially both teams.
Yeah, both teams to me are the teams that, like, they should be good, but they're just not, and you don't know why they're not, right? Like, the Cowboys with Dak, who I think is a really good quarterback. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb's probably one of the best top five receivers in the league. George Pickens is really good. Jake Ferguson's been good. Javonte Williams has been good. Like, they have a good team. They should be better than their record. They're just not. Same thing with the Cardinals. Kyler Murray should be a top five quarterback. He's got rushing upside. He's, you know, extends the play. He's got a great arm. They have Marvin Harrison Jr., who should be a great receiver. They just can't seem to put it all together. And so both fan bases are in this mode of, like, our team's good, but we don't always feel confident. So when you don't feel confident about your team week in and week out, you really can't pick them for Survivor Pool. So, yeah, I'm staying away from both teams this week.
And there's another one. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at week 9. There's a lot of games I'm avoiding, like Seattle and Washington. I'm avoiding that. Of course, the Chiefs and Bills, that's an easy one. Another one that is so suspect is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Las Vegas Raiders. Because right now, it's like, I know it's Pete Carroll's first year in as a Raiders coach, but it's just like, and then you also got to look at Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator of, like, what this type of decision he's making. But it seems like he still got that college thinking and then making it to the NFL is like, no, that's not how it works, Chip.
Yeah, I mean, Chip Kelly has never really been a great NFL head coach, offensive coordinator. He has an interesting style. I just don't think he has the players to run the style that he wants to run. Not a great game for Survivor Pool because you just don't know. Like, both teams are below average teams, and so they have potential to pull an upset, but I wouldn't, you know, you're pulling upset against another below average team, so you just don't know. They're too equally matched in how bad they are is the problem. Both teams are in trade swirl rumors, right? There's talk of Brian Thomas being on the trade block. There's talk of Jacoby Myers being on the trade block. Does Geno Smith get benched at some point? Who knows? It's just too wonky for me to really want to pick it. There's one game I really want to pick, and this is definitely not it.
And there's another one, not the 49ers and Giants, where I already know I'm staying away from that one. The one I'm really, really, really would avoid as far as way is the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions, because the Lions just came off a bye week. In Minnesota, yep, they're supposed to get J.J. McCarthy back. So this is the first time they're ever actually playing each other this year, for those that people don't know about that. But with situation like this, it's like, I want to stay away from this game as possible, because this is the tightest NFC. This is probably one of the best divisions I've seen in the NFC North at a long time.
Yep. And you know, my rule is to stay away from divisional games in Survivor Pools from the get-go, right? But just because you have that familiarity in terms of like offensive play calling, you just don't know. Again, right? So I stay away from divisional games. That's rule one. Rule two is stay away from any sort of spark, and that's J.J. McCarthy coming back. So it wouldn't surprise me if this game is super close or Minnesota pulls the upset. Detroit is the better team. I think they're the better team, like top to bottom. I think Jared Goff is better than J.D. McCarthy. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is just as good as Justin Jefferson. I think Sam Laporta is just as good, or if not better, than T.J. Hockenson. I think Jameson Williams is just as good as Jordan Addison. I think the defense for the Lions is better than the defense for the Vikings. I think the offensive line for the Lions is better than the offensive line for the Vikings. I think running backs Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason are not as good as Gibbs and Montgomery. So the Lions should win. But because of the divisional game, because Minnesota has the spark of J.D. McCarthy coming back, I just want to stay away from it.
Exactly, because Detroit probably wanted Carson Wentz to play. Because if it was Carson Wentz, I was like, yeah, you know what? Y'all can pick Detroit. But since J.J. McCarthy's back, it's like, no. Especially if it's a big Survivor Pool with a lot of people. It's just not, it's not a smart idea to do it.
It's too risky. Divisional games are always too risky for me. And then you have a quarterback coming back. I just stay away.
Exactly, and I think J.J. McCarthy is still a rookie, even though he didn't play last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was out all last year. I mean, he had the benefit of learning last year and sitting and watching tape and being in film rooms and being on the sidelines, but he didn't do a ton of, you know, on the field. He wasn't practicing because of his leg. So he got the film room education, but he wasn't getting the game speed, and I think he learned a lot this so far in the short season. Yes, he's missed a couple games, but he's been out there for practice the past 2 weeks. You know, seeing that kind of different things, he's learning a lot. He's a smart guy. He went to Michigan, which is a good school, and he just wasn't asked to do a ton of Michigan, which is why people were down on him. But I think he's got the skills, especially with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson. Like, they've got receivers that can elevate his skills. So if he's a average quarterback, those receivers are going to make him feel like an above average quarterback.
Now, there's another team that I'm not confident with, because it's not Indianapolis, because Indianapolis is 7-1, so I got to give credit for Indianapolis for balling out. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, offensively, they should put up a lot of points, but it's that defense is a letdown. And I was like, how you lose to the Green Bay Packers like that? Because they were leading in halftime, and then second half, they just poof.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has looked really good, but he also just can go out there and have stinkers every now and then. And I think there was so much wrapped up in last week's game. This might be kind of like they were so hyped for last week's revenge game for Aaron Rodgers that they kind of just come to and have a letdown this week, especially against the Colts, who are really, really good. You're right. They can't stop anybody on defense. So everyone's scoring a ton of points on the Steelers. And when you let another team score 24-plus points, that's a recipe for losing more often than not.
Because I'm looking at the Colts schedule, because week 10, they got a home game in week 10 against the Falcons. They got they played Kansas City in week 12 on the road. Then they got Houston in week 13. Then they got to go on the road in week 18 against them. So I'm looking at their schedule. It's going to be a little bit rough as like week 12 goes on, 12 and beyond.
It's going to be tough to find a spot to pick the Colts. I think that Atlanta game is probably where I'm like, okay, if I don't use the Colts, this is probably the week I use them, is against Atlanta coming up in a couple weeks. Right, that's where I think this part in survivor pools, if you're still alive, you have to kind of plan everything out for the rest of the season. I mean, I try to plan out my whole season of survivor pools. Like, these are the teams I'm going to pick, and these are my two alternates in case things change, yeah, or someone gets injured or whatever. I think you really have to look and go, okay, when are you taking the Chiefs? When are you taking the Bills? When are you now taking the Colts? Because the Colts are way better than we thought they'd be. And so it's like, if you're not taking them this week, do you take them, you know, again, I'm avoiding divisional games, which I got a lot coming up. So I think it's Atlanta game is probably the next time I'm going to take the Colts. So it's then I'm going to use the Colts then. So there's someone else maybe you take this week.
And then you also got to look like this. Like, when you plan, you also want, you don't, well, not intentionally want to plan for like last week, but you want to do it like week by week by week by week by week, because that will give you like, okay, if I take this team, what am I going to lose if I take this team this particular week? I think that's what most people don't look at. They just look at it as like a safe perspective.
Yeah, you have to kind of plan ahead and go, when am I taking these teams? Right? If you never take the Chiefs in your survivor pool, are you going to make it? Sure, but you want to take the Chiefs at some point because they're such a good team. You just got to find the right spot. And we know the Colts are good. They have a great run game. Daniel Jones has looked good as a pass game. You have to find a spot to take them. And especially now, we're headed into week 9. If you're still alive in a survivor pool, you're probably, the pool's probably at least half of it's gone, right? Like, half of your pool at least is gone, if not a two-thirds of your pool. You have to be looking like, I'm going to win this thing, and how do I get to the end of the season? Because that's what it might take to win. It might be you and three other guys for the next 4 or 5 weeks battling out, and you have to figure out, like, what's going to be your, where are you going to use your guys? Because you don't want to get to down to where there's three guys in 3 weeks. You go, I don't know, I have no one left. You're taking, you know, the Ravens, or you're taking, you know, the Browns or something. You don't want to be stuck. So you want to make sure you're planning things out ahead of time. Planning will help you get ahead of the game. And yes, you maybe get knocked out by some crazy game, but at least you made a good process and plan for everything.
Because usually I think the average span for a survivor pool is 7 to 8 weeks. That's usually the span for survivor pool players.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so we're heading to week 9. So like most people are out of their survivor pool. So if you're still around, start thinking long term. Like, you can now start planning out the rest of the season. We, you know, it's tough week 1, 2, and 3 because you go, I don't want to plan week 3, and you know, before the season, you don't know who's good, who's not. But now we have a sense of what teams are good, what teams are bad, what offenses, what defenses are good, and you can make a plan because you have more information. Weeks 1, 2, and 3, it's kind of like go with the chalk because we don't know anything. Now we know more, and there's injuries, and you may go, hey, I want to use the Colts, you know, in week 13, but you know, Jonathan Taylor might get hurt. Heaven forbids, and then that changes everything. So, but make a plan. I always like to look at each week and go, this is my main target this week, and here are my 2 or 3 alternates, just in case it changes.
And if you're like starting over just like I am, because I'm still in one of my original pools for week 1, that's the only pool I have. Everything else, I'm just starting over. So if you're starting over, hey, look at the bright side. At least you'll get a better view than you did when you started in week 1.
Yep. For real. I mean, that's the thing. The more information you have as the season goes on, you get more information. You know more. You know, you got bye weeks where you're going to impact people, and you have injuries that impact teams. So you have more information. You're just better off than you were week 1.
Gotcha. Now, where can my listeners find you on social media, by the way, Dustin?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TheDUnit13. Can I give you my pick for this week, the game I'm going to pick if I was picking?
Absolutely.
Green Bay Packers over the Carolina Panthers.
Absolutely agree. That's probably one of the safest picks, especially
that
Atlanta.
I think that's a lock this week. You're looking at a Packers defense with Micah Parsons playing either Bryce Young with a bad ankle or Andy Dalton. Like, that should be the lock. I would say in every pool, the Packers are going to be heavily favored. And I think it's okay to take chalk every now and then. If 90% of your pool is taking the Packers, I think it's okay to pick the Packers. Like, just roll with it, get through to next week, and then try to be crazy. I know a lot of people like to zig when others zag. Take the Packers and don't worry about it this week.
Right, because you know what? I'm looking at the Packers schedule. That's probably one of the safest picks for the Green Bay Packers, because if you look at the schedule, they have a road game of Philadelphia, 11 against the Giants, 12 against the Vikings, 13 at Detroit, 14 at Chicago, 15 the Broncos. It's like,
So you're not picking them against the Eagles. You're not picking them in the divisional games. You're not picking them against the Broncos. The Giants, maybe, but Jackson Dart looks really good.
Exactly.
So, you're not picking them any of those weeks. So this is the week to take the Packers. Just take them and move on. That's at this point, it's about surviving. It's not about being cute. It's not about getting special.
Exactly.
Take the chalk and survive for another week.
All right. Thank you very much, and I look forward to having you on the future show. It was a great pleasure talking to you, as always.
You too. Have a good one.
You too. Okay, so we are at 7 o'clock hour, and like I said before, if you are watching this on YouTube, there is a Patreon link to that description box. And as I said before, use my referral code or promo code UUM2IX. Get $10 free when you enter a contest that is $10 or more. So now that we got that out the way, I do have my NFL touchdown streak survivor picks for week 9. So here's how it goes. Now, if you pick a quarterback, the quarterback has to get a touchdown for a rushing touchdown. If he passes it, that does not count. Now, if you're picking a running back or wide receiver, so if he were to receive, rush, or return, whether it's a punt or a kickoff return, that does count. And once you pick that player, you can't pick that player ever again. So just like the same thing, but it's a player version. All right, so here's my top five. Where's my number five at? I already got four. Okay, there we go. We got five. Okay, here we go. So here's the first one I got. So the first one I have on the NFL touchdown streak survivor pick would be, if you're looking at Thursday Night Football, let's go with Mark Andrews. Now, the Dolphins has already allowed 17 red zone touchdowns on 87 snaps inside the 20, and 9 of those came through the air for 192 red zone passing yards, fertile space for Baltimore's play action and shovel look off game to isolate Andrews and safeties and match zone breakers. So you can use Mark Andrews if you want. Second one you can also look at is Ja'Marr Chase. He has caught 38 passes on 54 targets over his last three games, thriving in the quick passing game that has become the Bengals' offensive lifeline. He is going against a Bears defense that couldn't stop Baltimore offense led by Tyler Huntley last week, as they're going to face a Bengals that potentially turn back to Jake Browning if Flacco can't go. So Browning has struggled at times. That will feed Chase on high percentage throws, should keep the offense on track, as Chase has found the end zone 5 times this season, including 4 touchdowns in his last 4 games, and he is the focal point of the Bengals offense. Then you also look at Kareem Hunt. As of right now, Isaiah Pacheco is listed as questionable due to a knee sprain. He has accounted for 4 of the Chiefs' 5 rushing touchdowns by running backs this season. The Bills own one of the league's worst run defense by giving up 150.3 rushing yards per game and 10 rushing touchdowns, which is tied for the second most allowed. The vulnerability up front has been consistent. That will set up well for a bruising back like Hunt to finish off drive. Now, he has never scored a regular season rushing touchdown against Buffalo, but he did find an end zone in last year's AFC Championship. Then looking at Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals, because he does lead the Cardinals in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. He has nearly doubled the next closest receivers in catches in a pass-heavy offense. He is the first read more often than not. Now, the Cowboys have struggled against the pass this season, as surrendering 258.6 yards per game, which is the second highest in the league. They've given up a league high 20 passing touchdown. That is the secondary. There's secondary, one of the most generous in the NFL. Now, the Cardinals' ground game has been plagued by injuries so much that Kyler Murray leads the team with 173 rushing yards. As the Cardinals have leaned heavily on the pass as well. And last but not least, you got Tyler Warren. Now, the Steelers' defense has been a mess against tight ends this season, which is 30th in receiving yards allowed. And the Steelers just surrendered 143 yards and 2 touchdowns to Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. And they'll face a similar stiff test against Tyler Warren, who leads position in receiving yards. So those are my NFL touchdown streak survivor picks for week 9 on Splash Sports. So we got that out the way. So we're going to do college football right now, and then after that, we'll be done. So, and then I'll make one more announcement as well. I forgot to make that one more announcement. So, as I am looking, okay, so we're in college football right now. So, here we are. So, we have 23rd USC is going to face Nebraska. So, as I'm looking at my survival pool grid sheet, I'm looking at it because we do have that as a trap game, which I do. I do have that as a trap game, even though USC is favored. Now, as I'm looking at it, this is the... Well, I ain't got the information yet. Doggone it. But I'll skip that. I'll find that later on. Now, let's go to the SEC. So, let's look at Florida and Georgia. Now, both of these teams are giving up around 20 points per game. But the difference is Florida was sleeping at the wheel against Billy Napier, which they did fire. Now, let's look at Jaden Ball. Now Florida is 3-0 when he runs for 100 yards, 0-4 when he does it. Georgia can't get to the opposing quarterbacks, but they can't stop the run. Now, the Bulldogs limit balls to around 70 yards and one touchdown and win by two scores. So, you want to pay attention to that. Another one I am also more likely going to avoid is Vanderbilt at Texas. Number 9, Vanderbilt will go to Texas. Now, Archie Manning's status for Texas is in doubt after he was concussed at the end of a shootout victory over Mississippi State last week. Vanderbilt owns Texas. Now, the all-time series is 8-4-1. Now, they shut off the Longhorns 5 times, and the last time that ever happened was back in 1926. The Longhorns ranked 97th in rushing yards per carry, having a good day against a stubborn Commodore defense as Diego Pavia scores twice to keep Vanderbilt's dream season going. And then you're also looking at 18th-ranked Oklahoma against 14th-ranked Tennessee. Now, So 18th-ranked Oklahoma is facing against 14th-ranked Tennessee. Now, Oklahoma lost to Ole Miss last week for a season high of 431 yards and 34 points. The Volunteers lead the SEC in scoring in league games with 38.4. Oklahoma is averaging 20.5 versus league foes. So, John Mader has a 350-plus yards total offense, 3 touchdowns to have a bigger day than Joey Aguilar with 320-plus total yards, 2 touchdowns in that. Then you're also looking at 17th-ranked Cincinnati against 24th-ranked Utah. Now, the Bearcats hasn't faced a rushing attack as good as Utah yet. The Bearcats are average at stopping the run. So the question is, how much pressure will Utah can put on Brandon Sorboy, as few teams have been able to accomplish? Now, Sorsby will play well again with a 250-plus yards, 2 touchdown. Now, I can expect, this won't be surprised if this is an upset, but that's another game I'm going to avoid as well. Now, there was something I had in my notes, and it was something against USC and Penn. It was USC and Nebraska, because it's something to do with the stat with USC, because I looked it up this morning. Okay, here it is. Okay, here it is. So as of right now, you got 23rd ranked USC is favored by 6.5 against Nebraska. Oh my goodness. So when you look at these teams, I'm looking at it right now. Oh my gosh. So Nebraska's in a 28-game losing streak as Rule is in 18. And I think I'm looking at it. Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness gracious. It's just popping up and down. But whatever the heck it is. So forget about that. But I'll tell you this. This game could be possibly upset because, as I said before, Matt Rhule is in a 18 losing streak against ranked teams while Nebraska is 28th. Now, USC does have a pass rushing defense from what I've seen as I was looking at it on New York Times, but unfortunately, I can't able to look at it because right now you can't. Well, right now I can't even look at it right now. Let me see if I can actually look at it on Google because I should be able to look at it. Let me see if I can able to look at it. If not, then so be it. Because I thought I had it in my notes, but unfortunately, it's not in my notes. Okay, let's see. Now, let me see if it actually let me get it. Okay, here we go. So, here we go. So, Nebraska's in a 28-game losing streak against ranked opponents. Matt Rhule has lost 18 in a row himself. USC does have the best passing offense in the country, and Nebraska has one of the best pass defense. So the player to watch, if you're watching this game or picking these games, but like I said, I recommend to avoid that, is Nebraska's Emmett Johnson. He is second in the Big Ten in rushing yards per game behind Michigan's Justice Hayes. Now, the Trojans have struggled against the run on the road. Now, Johnson produces his fifth 100-yard rushing performances of the season. And don't be surprised if Nebraska pulls the upset. And then also we're looking at Penn State against top-ranked Ohio State as the Buckeyes is favored by 20.5. But I will say this about the Nittany Lions. They did play hard at Iowa, even though they did lose by one. But the problem is that nobody has scored more than 16 points against the Buckeyes defense, and only one team, that is Texas, managed more than 300 yards. Now, Penn State has produced more than 300 yards only once in his last four games, and the Buckeyes covered and hold Penn State's offense to single digits. So that was it. That was the stat I was looking for. All right, so wow, that's been a while, and it was a great show. Time flies that fast. So I have a very guest for next week as we're going to wrap it up. But I do want to make this announcement because I forgot to make that announcement at the beginning of the show. So the good friends at Bull Rush is doing a NFL satellite contest. So here's how it works. So every player starts with a fantasy $100,000 bankroll. So you're going to place your picks on NFL matchup using real odds. So the goal is to finish the week with a higher return than at least 20% of the field. Top 80% of performers move on to the next round. The bankroll resets each week, so one bad bet doesn't affect you. But the last player standing in week 20 split will win that cash, split the $100,000. So use promo code 586 Sports. New Bull Rush customers can use promo code 586 Sports to get $5 off when entering a contest on Bull Rush. So after you put in your information, click on NFL Survivor, go to add credits, use promo code 586 Sports. You'll get that $5 off. So if it was 20 along with that promo code, it would be 15. So it's important to apply that promo code when adding credits to your account. So my guest for next week is, and he is from Survivor Atlas, and his name is Gabe. So his name is Gabe. So he does Survivor Pool as well. So no matter if you're on Circa, ESPN, Yahoo, USA Today, you name it. So I look forward to having him on next week's show. So you don't want to miss that show as well. So that's it. So until then, see you guys next week on Safer Trap, the Survivor Pool Show on 586 Sports, Detroit's Survivor Pool Authority. Take care.